Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
How many of you guys want a good word tonight? How many of you guys will holler for a good word tonight? How many of you guys? Huh? That's okay. The first verse in Exodus 4, and this is a very common, you've all heard this before, all right? This story in the Old Testament of Moses. But then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. You know what? That's standard reason. Most people are going to ask that. Most people are, when God says, look, deliver my people, go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. God, I'm not sure this is going to work very good, okay? And this is pretty common. I think all of us would have this kind of response if we heard in a burning bush God's voice that wasn't being consumed. And verse 2, so the Lord said to him, what's in your hand? And Moses said, a rod. It was essentially a crooked stick. It was a shepherd's stick. It was a rod, but it wasn't just that. Okay, it had everything that had happened in his life. It had every time God had redeemed, had rescued him and redeemed him in issues in his life. Man, all of that stuff was carved on that piece of wood. And he said, "What's in your hand?" Underline that. Highlight that. Write that down in your notes. What's in your hand? This is a type and shadow right here of the leadership that we have to take in our own lives. Man, there's some of you guys, Pharaoh is in the form of debt. It's in the form of a failing marriage, your relationship. Some of you, it's in your health. And whatever it is, there's a Pharaoh that's trying to keep you in bondage in your life. And here he is, and God's saying, look, what's in your hand? This is later referred to as the rod of God. But see, he didn't realize he had the rod of God in his hand. He just said, look, I just have a staff. I just have a rod. I just want to stop and make this point. What you have currently right now is what you need. It's hard because what you see isn't enough that you have. I'm just telling you, With every bit of leadership that I can, whatever say I have, this is going to be one of those direction kind of messages, but this is going to give you back the control of the direction in your life. Because God's word, God is going to direct your steps. He's going to direct your paths. See, what you have currently in your life is what you need. It doesn't feel like it. It doesn't seem like it. But the Bible says that all our needs met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And what's in your hand? Verse 3, and God said, cast that rod on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, real easy to do, and it became a serpent. And what did Moses do? Man, he took off. He said, man, cast that on the ground, it became a serpent. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand again. Verse 5, that they may believe. Now listen, and here's the key. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. This is the promise right here. The promise is, and this is the question that you have to ask yourself. Has the living God, the God of promise, revealed himself to me in my life? Has he done it? I promise you on this trip, man, Chris Hart, man, the God of promise revealed himself to Chris 100 times. Why? He was in uncomfortable, unfamiliar. Man, I'm just following the lead. Man, Jason gave him the assignment to go to China. And not just go to China. He had guest pastors with him. He had one of my dear friend's son with him. The whole idea. So what happened? Man, every step that he took is God, I just thank you today. He's probably praying in the spirit. Man, he's confessing God's promise. And what happened? God revealed to him. And that's what God does in our life. So the real question is, has God revealed himself to you? I mean, what does God have to do? For reals, he got to start jumping through hoops for you? He got to start snapping his fingers. He got to start. No, the idea of this is that they may believe, that they may believe. What's the deal with the outreach? Why are we doing the outreach on Friday, the outreach on Saturday? That they may believe. Why do we have church tonight? That they may believe. Man, why do we do everything that we do? That they may believe. Man, what's in your hand? What do you currently have in your life? Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom. And when it came out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. And he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out from his bosom. And behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they don't believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. And it shall be, if they don't believe these two signs or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. Then Moses said to the Lord, Oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Man, pick somebody else that speaks better than me. I stutter. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now listen, verse 12. Now therefore go, and I'll be with your mouth, and I'll teach you what to say. In my formative years of ministry, I started, it's interesting because I started getting requests and invitations to go speak places. And I had like a couple of messages. I had a couple things that really could move the chains in people's lives. I mean, it wasn't much. I didn't have much to offer. And I got a lot more requests and a lot more invitations than messages that I had in my heart. But you know what? Man, I'm just thinking, man, what am I going to do? The very next incident, the very next thing that happened to me spiritually, for me questioning what I was going to do and if this was really a route that I should take, because the pressure's on you. Because people expect a lot, especially from a visiting minister, especially a young guy. Man, years and years ago, and I ran into Dick Mills. And Dick Mills came up to me and said, I get a good word for you. He said, Exodus 4:12, go and I'll be with your mouth and I'll teach you what to say. See, we wanna alter the arrangement of that promise. We wanna say, God, teach me what to say. Show me that you're with my mouth and then I'll go. But that's not how God puts it to us. He says, go, I'll be with your mouth. I'll teach you what to say. You know, it's interesting how heartily, how active Moses was in trying to stiff arm God from this. Verse 13, but he said, oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. You know, it's interesting, this rod, what was in his hand? If you think about it, what we know that Moses didn't know at that time is that was the rod that he put out when God parted the Red Sea. The Nile River turned to blood and frogs came out of it because he tapped he tapped the water with that rod. Man, he tapped the ground and flies and gnats came, insects came from the dust. He struck a rock and water came from it. But you know what? Before all of that happened, God said, look, what's in your hand? Man, I'm going to use what you have. What you have is currently enough. And you know what I would venture to say? It's more than enough than what you have need of. See, we always look, our carnal mind, man, if we look at things the way the world's trained us to look at things, it's never enough. Never enough. How's it going to happen? How are we going to do it? Unless the Lord, write this down, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. Is God building the house in your life or not? See, and for us, what we have to understand is that, man, God's going to call us. God's equipping who he's called. He doesn't need all your abilities. He just needs your handiness. He needs you to be available. Man, your availability is huge. If you quit worrying about not having enough money, not having enough stroke, not having enough influence, not having enough resources, not having enough people, and just say, what I got a lot of is availability. Man, showing up is a big deal. Being handy is a big deal. I mean, showing up to practice and games and being on time and just doing your job and people being able to count on you. You know, it's interesting because somebody may ask you, they say, hey, man, how many people do you trust? And it depends on what you're asking. See, because what I do, there's a lot of responsibility to the decisions that I make and a lot of responsibility to the decisions that Chano and Tara make and decisions that Chris and Molly make and the Coles make and, man, the decisions that the Morgans make and the Houstons make. Man, all of that stuff pertaining to the church will all come back to me. See, the Bible says, man, you strike the shepherd and the sheep are scattered. So I've got the people that are in place. Paul said, know those whom you labor among. Man, the people that are taking responsibility, I've got to be able to trust them. Because it's not just my livelihood that's at stake. It's my life's work. It's any kind of legacy that'll happen. It's a footprint of ministry that's gonna be transgenerationally. Man, it's gonna go beyond my life and maybe our lives. See, so it's not easy just giving trust out, just doling it out. Like, yeah, you're so. No, let me tell you, somebody's availability has to have a long span on it. See, your availability, which is all Moses, all God was looking for Moses. He was just looking for his availability. Will you make yourself available to me? Moses fought God from every direction that he could. And all God wanted was him to be handy, him to be available. And now think about that in your life. How available are you to God? How available are you to God's purpose in your lives? See, you think about this, and the 13th verse, after God said, go and I'll be with your mouth and I'll teach you what to say, Moses came back and said, look, by your mighty hand, find somebody else to take care of this. I mean, it almost becomes comical. But I'll tell you, this is the identifier in our lives. You want control of your destiny? You want control of your life? You got to be available to God. You got to be available to God's purpose. You got to be available to the leadership that God has put in your life. Man, to the point where the Bible says to obey those. See, it's not just obeying earthly authority. It's obeying the godly authority that's in your life. And let me just tell you, the longer that you do it, the more difficult it gets. Because let me tell you what happens. What happens is the longer you do it, the more you get to see. Man, there's people in here, these guys in the front row. Man, Pastor Sandy, she sees all my chips, all my cracks, all my miscuts. And she's got to look beyond that, and she's got to say, wait a second. Man, what's the motive? What's the track record? Man, what's the angle here? And you know what? If that's all right, we can live with miscuts and cracks and chips in leadership's lives. Man, the bottom line with this is that that Paul said this, follow me as I follow Christ. And you'll say, well, what does following him mean? I'll tell you what following him means. What Paul said was, the things you hear me say, you say. The things you see me do, you do. All he's saying is, look, don't make this up as you go along. And see, the heart of God isn't about what kind of wealth that you can acquire, how good a fundraiser that you can be. Man, I remember when I thought, oh my gosh, church work is expensive. Shockingly expensive. And I went to God and I said, God, I don't know that there's an anointing on my life to be a fundraiser. I don't think I'm very good at it. And I'm honestly thinking, okay, I want to pawn this off on someone else to come in and be the fundraiser, and I'll just be the whatever it is that I do here. And you know what? I knew in everything that was in me that wasn't my responsibility. I knew that God would take responsibility of that. And it's interesting because, man, the first 5 or 6 years as a church, we'd have things that we'd do, we'd have banquets, man, for outreaches and everything else that that we had going on, and it'd be like, oh my gosh. And it always would fall short. And it was like, oh my, but you know what? The money always came in. And every time it came in from a different direction and in a different place than what we had planned on it coming in from. And you know, what's interesting is after I cried out to God, the next time I looked up, and I don't know, I'll tell you, it was just amazing. It was just phenomenal. But 6 years into our church, you got to remember, we started with six people and not much money, not much resource, an old abandoned warehouse. 6 years later, we had $775,000 in the bank. And you know what's interesting? Because I remember my friend Jeff Perry got a laptop. He said, you need to get a laptop. And I said, and at that time, they were like $5,000 or $6,000 a piece. That's when they first came out. He said, man, you need to get a laptop. I said, I'm not getting a laptop. I'm thinking this, I'm not getting a laptop. That's a lot of money. We had $775,000 in the bank the day that he said that about that laptop. He said, man, let me tell you, your study will be increased. Man, your effectiveness in the pulpit will be, man, it'll be phenomenal. And I couldn't see, I there was no way we're tapping into that money. And I'll tell you why. I knew that money was sacred. I knew that money was our building money. We never touched it. And you know what? 2 years after that, we bought this property. And it was unbelievable. We bought it for $20 a foot. We didn't pay for any of the land, and it's 30 acres now. See, you look at it and you think, well, there's no way we could do that. See, I've seen it. I've seen God. God has appeared to me. Man, God's made himself real to me. God, it's easy for me to believe because I see God's hand in so much of what we do. And then you see the incredible work that God's doing in people's lives. Man, and I learned a very valuable lesson. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. Your dream, listen, God isn't looking for your ability to, there's no way that I'm able, there's no way that I have the skill set to do what God's called me to do for the last 25 years right here in this church. But you know what he has done? He's brought incredible people into this church. And you know what? Filled every gap. I'm just telling you, pound for pound, the most incredible church that I've ever seen. The ministry horsepower, the footprint of ministry that we leave in every community that we go into is undeniable. Man, you take Skytook right now, if we pulled Guts Church out of Skytook, it would leave a gaping hole. And I was asked today by one of the members of our board, he said, how many people from Tulsa do you have serving in Skytook? I said, I think a couple of youth guys. And he said, so it's all Skytook people now? I said, yeah. He said, how many people are serving in it's Sepulpa? I said, I don't know, it's probably 40 or 50. But you know what? He said, but let me just tell you, it's gonna be sooner and quicker than you think that it'll be Skytook people that'll be doing it. See, and that's the idea. You know what that shows you? People are growing. See, this is the soul business. This is the people business. This isn't about anything we could build or anything that we could put together, any programs. This isn't a program-run church. No, it's people. It's Coffee with Travis. It's 15 minutes before church with Scott Houston. It's 15 minutes after church with Jeremy Bedell. It's that you're not just checking this off your list. Man, you guys in here that are quiet and you're introverts, you guys in here that are slow of speech, you stutter. Man, you're not socially, let me just tell you, I don't know people in this church that have been here for a while that care about any of that. They just care about you. You know why? Because you're a people. And you once weren't a people, but now you're God's people. See, that's how God does this. See, I once wasn't a people. Now I'm his people. Now my hands and my life is in his hands. And your question, let me just tell you what it's gonna be. Your question is gonna be, well, what about, and you just fill in the blank. Because you have enormous deficits that this will never work. What about I'm too short. I'm too tall, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too white, I'm too Hispanic, I'm too bald, I'm too, it's whatever. And you know what? We hear things like that and laugh. But I know the devil's tweaking people and trying to mess with people for things as goofy as that. And God's not looking for you to amass wealth for your ministry. He's just looking for you to use what's in your hand. You know, I think too many people, the way the church, the way ministry's been is God's called me to Africa. Well, why, man? To help orphans. For the life of me, I can't imagine not helping orphans here in America and waiting to get to Africa to be able to do it. Man, what's God put in your heart? Because let me tell you something. What's in your hand is sufficient for what God's put in your heart. Because he's our sufficiency. And that staff that you have in your hand that you're thinking, all I have is this staff, becomes the rod of God. When you just are sensitive to the Spirit of God and you obey his voice and you follow what you know he's put before you in your life and you step out. And when you take a step of faith toward, listen, helping hurting people, ministering to people, what's in your hand becomes miracle, drowns Egyptians, the whole Egyptian army. Man, it rescues 6 million people on dry land across the Red Sea. And you think about it. See, I don't think we think about what's in our hand as being anything near what's enough. But see, what I know, and I'm going to close with this, because I could talk about this all night. But I'll just tell you this. What I know the promise of God does in our lives, it eliminates excuses.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.